You listen to the Jason Greger Show presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to gamesense.ab.ca.
Good night, and we are joined by former NHLer, pre- and post-game analyst for Sports 1440. Also does some stuff for Sportsnet. Landon Ferraro, back on the show. Landon, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm excellent. You know, it's interesting that you can look at it two ways. The people, hey, the orders got lucky. It was the goal was called off. I'm like, sure. But what if the linesman whistled it down for offside originally and then no one even thinks about it, right? It's kind of funny how the perception is you go from luck, even though the call was right. And I don't love review. Don't get me wrong. I don't love it. But that was an odd offside by, like, how do you not just drag your leg on that play? I don't get it.
It's amazing how you can have a mental lapse at that point of a game. You're going across it on the near side, the puck's going through the middle, and you just don't even think about it. You feel like you're onside and you're trying to keep your speed. But I mean, that one especially, like you said, it's pretty easy to drag your foot an extra couple inches, considering he, kind of quickly brought that right foot forward to take himself offside. But you're right. Like, it is perception. Everyone is focused on the goal and being lucky. But you're right. Like, if it just gets blown down, it's not even an issue. But, you know, in the pregame show, we were talking, and, you know, I kind of jokingly said, like, I'd like to see a 1-0, 2-1 game out Edmonton. And, you know, when they're playing good, they play really good defense and they don't give up a ton of grade A chances. And, you know, they held them to 21 shots. And, like, that's a good step again.
Yeah. Well, you know, I thought they dominated the first 35 minutes of that game. And then, hey, eventually the other team's going to come back. My only concern is, and it's kind of the concern I've had all year, Landon, is you're up. The shots were, I don't even know what they were, 19, 22 to 5 at some point. But it's only 1-0, and it wasn't like they were getting glorious scoring chances. Like, yeah, they're generating, it's better, but to me, their offense still isn't where you need it to be 5-on-5.
No, and I think it's a pretty easy fix. It's about getting more traffic in front of the net and getting pucks delivered in there. You know, with the Oilers, it's always kind of been a thing where they have, you know, they have the skill, they have, you know, some really good skaters that can kind of lap the ozone, but they end up getting stuck on the outside a decent amount and trying to make these perfect plays to the back door one-timer and things like that, where especially in a game where it's a low shot, low scoring affair, like, just make it a little easier on yourself and get bodies to the front of the net and get pucks going there. Like, give yourself a chance for some easier offense.
What do you make of the, like, you know, you say easier offense. Like, I found they had a lot of possession at times, but it didn't lead to quality chances. What do you think was missing going from possession to chances?
I think kind of just what I was saying, like, everyone's trying to help out the cycle. Everyone's trying to kind of be in that support. When really, like, you can just get someone to the net, you have those good skaters holding possession, moving around, but as soon as you see that lane open up to the net, just having more of a willingness to fire pucks to the net. And I don't want the Edmonton Oilers turning into a straight shot volume team and just throwing everything in there all the time, but you can see it in so many parts of different games for the Oilers where they are cycling around the offensive zone so well, and it's getting extended. Guys are getting tired. You need to have that bit more of a killer instinct of, like, now's the time to pounce. We don't let them get off by skating around the outside still. Like, getting people to the inside, attacking seams, and especially, again, once you say you're in the cycle and you're the guy that's carrying it up and you're getting towards the top of the circle and you see some open ice in the middle, like, take those hard strides into the guts of the ice and deliver a puck in there and let your buddies try and bang it around and see if you can get that rebound in.
Landon Ferraro joins us. Atlanta, Matt Savoy did get, you know what, first two-assist game of his career, first multi-point game of his career. I've actually liked Savoy's game for the most part this season. I just found like he wasn't getting rewarded for playing the right way, and last night he did.
Yeah, and that's the tough thing, especially as a younger guy. You know, he's in his first full year of NHL play, and you know, I think I said it in the pregame show as well of, like, he seems to be around it all the time, and you know, he's making himself a part of the play, and he just couldn't finish the last 5% of the play to finish off for the goal or connect the pass that would lead to the goal. That part was just escaping him a bit, but he's getting more comfortable, he's getting more confident, which is more important in his play and what he's able to do, and now he's on a line that, you know, obviously has a lot of skill. And, you know, it was really nice to see him get those couple assists because you're right. Like he hasn't got that lucky little break at the end. And for the Oilers, like that's another guy that can provide some of that secondary scoring, especially with the way that he skates and the energy that he plays with. You want him to just keep building because that's a really good piece for the team that they can be useful going down the line.
Looking, Regula's coming in. I've liked his game a lot more than Ty Emberson. And I think if Regula gets in a run here, Emberson might be hard pressed to get in the lineup. Where do you come out on Regula versus Emberson?
I'm kind of in that same boat as you. Like, you know, there's some years that separate them, and the size of Regula and his skating ability, like, those are all things to really like. You know, Emberson has battled the puck a little bit and over the last stretch here, and you know, it's one of those where you know where the ceiling of Emberson is quite a bit more than where you know the ceiling of Regula is, and trying to get him in and playing a little bit more offense. And obviously I'm not saying, you know, leading the charge or anything like that, but he makes some really good passes. He reads the game pretty well. Like it's another piece where given some runway and some time to really grow and get more comfortable, he hasn't played a lot of hockey over the past couple of years, and getting him that time now could pay really big dividends. You find another player that can, you know, can really make some plays for you on the back end.
Yeah, well, and you know, size different. Like Emberson, he gets hit so much for a guy who doesn't play that many minutes, right? Like he holds onto the puck kind of till it's almost like his processor just takes him a while to process where he should move the puck, and then he moves it, but he's just getting hammered.
Yeah, and the other side of that too, because I don't disagree about, like, processing the play that's coming at him, especially when it's a forecheck and he's going back for a puck. But the other side of it too is, you know, I'm not saying that he's a bad skater, but when he does see the puck, you know, getting rimmed in, he goes back for it, and you can see him shoulder checking. Like it's not like he's getting surprised by the hits. It's just that his feet and hands can't get him out of the way to where he can make that next play with. If we're, you know, talking about him between Regula, like Regula's got that size, it's a little bit easier for him to absorb the hit and still make the next play. But on top of that, he sees it and he can get himself to move a little bit to open up that next play as well. So he doesn't even have to take the hit, or it's more of just a bump, and he's using that momentum to get him out of harm's way and into a spot to make that next play.
Yeah. Up front, the orders, they're Pod Colson, Draisaitl, Rostovich. That line's obviously got good chemistry. I don't think there's any reason why you'd switch it. Like Rostovich, I'll be honest, man, like I didn't know his game was this smooth, Landon. Like he can beat guys one-on-one, and he's a rare player in this. At times when he glides, he accelerates. It's very weird. Like he is a really super smooth, kind of silky skater.
He is, and, you know, he's one of those guys that is, you know, has skill, has production in him that has always been behind, you know, bigger name players that get the headlines, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's just another guy that scored 20 goals. But when you're watching him every night and you see, especially playing with the talent, you know, again, especially on the power play, with McDavid and Draisaitl and seeing him work with Unison in there. You know, to me, he's, you know, there's lots of guys that can kind of make minutes work with McDavid or Draisaitl and, you know, can take advantage of some plays being made by them, but they don't want to hold on to a puck. They feel like they got to get it into Draisaitl or McDavid's hands right away. And they don't really create much themselves. Like, he's that mix right now that can play off of McDavid and Draisaitl. He can, you know, he understands that in a perfect world, you want the puck on their stick and let them create and you get open. But when that's not there for him, he's confident enough in himself and his skill set that he's going to hold on to it. He's going to look to make the play. He's going to look to drive the line for that short stretch. And, you know, for a lot of guys, like, mentally, that's tough to do when you're out with one of the best players in the world between those two and always trying to defer to them. But they need guys to make plays too. The whole point of trying to find more wingers that can score for those two is to lighten their load a little bit. And when the majority of guys get put with them, it's always deferring. And for Roslovic, he's not afraid to hold on to it and make a play himself.
Yeah, well, he's got a boatload of confidence right now. And you know, hey, when Hyman comes back, I'm putting Hyman, McDavid, and I'm keeping Savoy there, and I'm moving Mangiapane down. To me, Matt Savoy has done way more than Mangiapane this year.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And you know, we were talking about this yesterday, and I still do believe this, but you know, like, it is Savoy's spot. He has the intangibles to be there, and rightfully deserves to be there. I still think that, you know, being a younger guy, like, being relied on for those minutes night in and night out in all situations might get a little tiring for him at different points of the year. So I feel like his spot will move around a little bit, but he'll be the mainstay on it for sure.
Yeah. No, he should be. Oilers taking on the Blue Jackets, both teams' third game in four nights. It's early in the season. I don't know if fatigue's really that much of a factor at all. Like, heck, Columbus is going with their goalie three games in four nights.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you'd think that fatigue is a factor for sure. I mean, like, the guys have played so much hockey in such a short span already, but at the end of the day, that's what the schedule is, and they're professionals, and just like anyone else, like, they want to play every game. They want to be in, and especially in the Oilers' case, you know, I forget the number, what is it, like 7 games in 12 nights or something, but, you know, like, that's a lot, and you generally don't want to be playing that much, but at the same time, like, the Oilers get the 5-4 overtime win against Columbus, and you know, there was parts of that game that you definitely saw them take some steps, but they still have a long way to go. And then they get into Philly the other night or last night and get the 2-1 win. And I'd say that they found a bit more of their game. Like, right now, games are the best thing for the Oilers. Just keep getting thrown into it and keep trying to push the emotions and intensity up within the group. And start, you know, kind of pushing each other to take that step as a group.
Well, we'll see if they can end their drought. Funny enough, the longest active road losing streak for the Oilers is in Columbus, where they've lost 4 in a row. And actually, the last three games, they trailed at 1-point, 3-0, 4-0, and 6-0. So it hasn't necessarily been fun times for them. But the thing is, Jack Roslovic, he was the Oilers slayer. Because he didn't play the last one, they lost 6-1. But in the other ones, it was a 4-4 game going into the third. He scored both goals in the third. They win 6-5. He scored an insurance goal in another game, and then he scored the empty netter in the other one. So Roslovic has crushed the Oilers. He's only ever played three career games at home as a member of the Blue Jackets, had 4 goals. So they're happy to have him on their side. And if it goes to overtime, I think I know who I'd be picking.
Yeah, I think we got a pretty good idea. I mean, you got to love that 1-2 punch of lines coming out. You know, McDavid and Draisaitl and Bouchard do their work, and then he comes and cleans up the rest. But I'm just hoping we don't have to hear that cannon even through a TV too many times tonight.
Awesome. Take care easy, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Have a good one.
There you go.